Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey folks, welcome in to Prep Rally for this Wednesday, the 28th of November. Hope you all had a lovely and fulfilling Thanksgiving, or more like a filling Thanksgiving, if you know what I mean. Dalton, get it?
Oh, yeah, I got it, yeah.
Food. I ate lots of food. I had a very filling Thanksgiving. Did you?
I did. It was really good. I spent it with Jillian, my girlfriend, and her family, so
nice.
I had a good time.
I also spent it with family, and also spent it with turkey dressing and lots of pie.
I didn't get any pie. I'm very particular about my pie, and they didn't have the kind I wanted, so I did not eat any.
We had chocolate chest pie. We had egg pie, egg custard pie, had pecan pie. We had literally like 8 desserts there.
I want my buttermilk pie, and that's the pie I'm going to eat. So
I haven't tried that one, but you told me about that the other night. I'll have to give that one a try someday. Buttermilk pie. Interesting. Hey, thanks for joining us here on Prep Rally. Going to spend the next few minutes talking high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, football, basketball. That's mainly what we're going to talk about here today. Just a reminder that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Dalton, let's talk football first. The playoffs are winding up, and we've got one team left. That's it. West Point, the lone Northeast Mississippi representative.
What a surprise. West Point, the championship.
Yes, really. What a surprise. So let's start with that. The Week 15 rewind. We'll look back at the three games we had last week, starting with West Point. We both went to that one, Dalton, because it was the only game being played in the area. Calhoun City and Smithville were on the road. West Point playing Olive Branch, a rematch. Rematch. They had beaten Olive Branch 3 consecutive times over the last 2 seasons, including last year's North Final, and make it 4 in a row, 35-0 the final. I was expecting a closer game, Dalton, but you know, I think the weather might have had something to do with it, because it was raining and it was muddy and it was just slick out there, and West Point just did what it always does. It didn't change their plan at all. Maybe they threw it a little bit less, but Olive Branch just could not hang with them.
Well, like you said, it surprised me it wasn't closer, because West Point had to come from behind to win this one earlier in the regular season, and from the first play on the first offensive play West Point ran, it was just complete domination. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Literally, the first play they ran, it was an 85-yard touchdown run by our Brandon Harris. Mm-hmm. He ended up with 2 touchdowns and a big game on the ground for him. How many yards did he have? 200-plus, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think if I remember, it was 233.
Yeah, and Dantarius Cannon also had a big game on the ground, the running back. He had a couple of touchdowns and went over 100 yards. So, like I said, yeah, West Point just did what they do, man. They just ran the ball. They played stellar defense. In fact, one of the players I was defensive players I was speaking with after the game for West Point, he said, you know, this the playing in the elements like that was kind of right up West Point's alley, because he said, you know, Olive Branch, they play on turf up there, you know, mm-hmm. artificial turf. They're not used to this. They come down here, and you know, this is exactly the kind of situation that gives West Point an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, if I played on turf and then had to go play in a giant mud puddle, I don't think I'd play too well either.
In the cold. It was pretty chilly that night as well. So, yeah, kind of surprising it wasn't that close. It wasn't closer, but also kind of not surprising, because it's West Point.
Yeah, they're so good.
They are. And headed to the state title game for a third consecutive year. And we'll talk about that matchup here in a few minutes. A couple of other games. We had 2 other teams playing last Friday. They both fell short. Calhoun City and 2A went to Scott Central and lost 27-0. Had a couple of turnovers that hurt them there really bad. It was the final game for Coach Perry Lyles. Had a nice run there at Calhoun City the past decade. Won a state title a couple of years ago. And really, this team, Dalton, I don't think it was as good as last year's team, but got just as far.
Yeah, it was just... The defense was so good
them. It was.
And, you know, I don't want to say their offense wasn't good, because their offense got the job done.
Yeah, but it was not as dynamic as last year when you got JoJo Gray and Treshawn Cooper and Keyshawn Parker.
Yep.
So.
And this year they just kind of struggled to get things going. And, you know, that I think they would have had a lot better chance in this game if they were turned the ball over, what, 5-6 times, fumbled the ball. It just seemed like every time we got on Twitter, it was another fumble Friday night.
Yeah, that certainly did not help. So, final game for Perry Lyles as head coach. Be interested to see who they get to replace him. And then in 1A, Smithville, well, Dalton, I said they might hang tough with Simmons, but I wasn't sure, but they did. Simmons, of course, I think it's, what, 54 straight now that they've won, and going for a fourth straight state title. But the score was 20-6, and they were in it. Dalton actually had a couple of chances after, I think, blocked punts to score and just couldn't quite convert.
Yeah, well, you know, I talked to Michael Campbell earlier in the week, and he said that he thinks they actually have a chance. You know, if they can get some defensive stops, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so hard to score on that team. You know, they're allowing, like, right at four points a game or whatever it is. I don't know. It's just
I think one position they blocked the punt and started at the Simmons 3-yard line and could not punch it in. I mean, that's just how good that defense is.
Yeah.
It's just but a heck of an effort by Smithville. And this is a team too that maybe offensively a little different from last year. Got a dual threat quarterback, but don't have the Dustin Moffitt kid that was so explosive. But good quarterback in Octavian Miller, good running back in Jabril Smith, and a really good defense, obviously. So good season there by Smithville to reach the North Final in 1A. All right, Dalton, let's go ahead and look at the state championships coming up here. First, let's take a quick look at the matchups, Dalton, if I can pull them up here. The action starts Friday in Hattiesburg and continues Saturday. So Friday, you got the 3A final, Water Valley against Seminary. Water Valley seeking its first state title since 1990. 1A, Simmons, like I said, going for four in a row, going to take on Nanawaya. That's how you say it. It's not Nanawaya. I used to think it was. Somebody corrected me recently. It's Nanawaya. I don't know. Robbie Falk was saying it the other night in the press box, and he got it right, and I just have trouble saying it. These teams met last year, and Simmons came back to win late. 6A, Horn Lake and Oak Grove. That'll be a good one.
It's Horn Lake's first appearance ever.
Sure is, and they are 14-0 and have that defense that is lights out. So those games are at 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m. Saturday in Hattiesburg, you got the 4A game at 11, Louisville against Poplarville. You've got the 2A game after that at 3, Scott Central against Taylorsville, which will be playing without its quarterback, Ty Keys, who's thrown for like 3,600 yards and 39 touchdowns. He got a foot injury.
Yeah, he's the kid that, if you guys remember last year, was, as a freshman, picked up all these SEC offers after he threw for, what was it, like 10,000 yards and 100 touchdowns last year?
Something like that, give or take. So that could be a good one even without him. But 5A game wraps up the weekend, and, of course, that is West Point against West Jones. So let's talk about that one. West Point going for its third in a row and 10th overall. West Jones seeking its first state championship. You know, looking at this game, obviously West Point has the experience edge. And really, you know, if you want to break down how they win, just, you know, keep the formula the same. Like I said, last week in the rain, they didn't change anything. And no need to change anything this week. And the West Point's one of those teams, they plan for the other team, but they're still just going to do what they do. They're not going to change much, regardless of the opponent. So run the ball, play defense, and that's the formula.
And they do it every week, and it seems like they're doing it better right now. When I was just looking at it earlier, and you know, they're averaging 382 rushing yards per game in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they've had three games this year where they rushed over 400. Two of them will come in the playoffs. And last week they rushed for 450 yards, which was their season high.
Yeah.
13 touchdowns.
It's peaking just at the right time.
Yeah, they're just so dominant on the ground.
They are, and I would expect them to win this one. But, hey, West Jones is not going to be an easy out. They've got a good quarterback, Alan Follis. Now, he's just a sophomore, but he's got some good numbers. Doesn't throw many picks, but now West Point, they do pick off some passes. They've got like 14 or so, I believe. And so that'll be a interesting matchup to see how well he does, because West Point has a really good defensive line that can get pressure, and then those defensive backs, like I said, know how to get to the football. And, you know, it's kind of a symbiotic relationship between the D-line and the secondary. One helps the other. So be interested to see how well Follis stands up to that. And then on the other side of the ball, and we talk about West Point running it, again, not going to be easy, because they got a good defense led by Byron Young. He's a defensive lineman and an Alabama commit. So got to block him or just, you know, run away from him.
Yeah, he's been tearing it up. He's got, 17 and a half sacks on the season, I think.
Something like that. Like 30 tackles for loss. He's really good.
Yeah, I don't expect West Point to go out there and just throw it 30 times a game, so I don't think they need to worry too much about the sacking abilities. But
true, true.
He does have 38 tackles in the playoffs, 6 sacks in the playoffs. So he has 4 or 5 double digit tackle games, and 3 of them come in the playoffs. So it seems like he's just, you know, stopping the run. He's doing everything he can in the playoffs to kind of get this team going forward. So
yeah, exactly. So I'm sure, you know, Chris Chambliss and them, the West Point coaching staff, will, like I said, they're going to do what they do, but they're going to have to account for him and make sure that they find a way to get around him or block him up. So should be a fun game. Again, that's 7 o'clock Saturday night, and Dalton will be there for all the games, actually.
I'll be there for all 6.
There you go. That'd be fun. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, I'm excited to see them. There's a couple of them that, you know, I'm just kind of like, I don't really care to see too much, but I'm interested. I'm really interested to see a lot of those teams that haven't been there, you know, ever, like Horn Lake, West Jones, have never been there, and just some of those teams that aren't normally there.
Right, right.
It's because Water Valley hasn't been there since 1990. I don't think Seminary's been there since 2003, I think. So it's like this year's got kind of some new faces in there. It's got Central's in there, and it's just like, hey, you know.
Exactly.
There's going to be a lot of teams I haven't seen. I get to watch them.
Right, it'll be fun. Saturday. And by the way, be sure to check out our video football show we do. It's the DJ Preps Football Preview Show. We've been doing it every week. Drops on Thursday, and this will be the last one. We're going to preview the West Point game. Obviously, that's the only team we have left. But check that out at djournal.com. We'll make a prediction on the West Point game on that show, so check it out. Let's talk some hoopage there, Dalton. Let's start with Potts Camp, the boys' team. Was on Twitter Saturday. I'm on Twitter a lot, aren't we all? But, you know, they had the Lighthouse Classic up in Corinth last Friday and Saturday, and one of the games featured Potts Camp and Saltillo. I think that was the first game Saturday morning. I saw the halftime score. I'm like, holy cow. Mm-hmm. Potts Camp is right there with them and stayed with Saltillo, our number one ranked team, by the way. Ended up, Saltillo did win 61-58, but Potts Camp caught our attention, and we knew they could be good because we knew they had a good player named Mitchell Salisbury, had a good year last year, and he's off to a great start this year, and so is Potts Camp. And you had a story on them, I think, in Tuesday's Journal, Dalton. And this team is dangerous, and they're big. A big 1A team.
Yeah, well, kind of like you, it caught my attention whenever you sent me that screenshot Saturday, and I was like, oh, they're winning at halftime. And I was like, oh, okay, Potts Camp. And, you know, they're kind of one of those fringe teams that we don't really know too much about.
Well, we don't sell a lot of papers up there.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
But, you know, I sat down and talked to Coach Jeremy Diller for about 20, 30 minutes the other night and, you know, learned a good bit about this team. They went 15-15 last year but returned 14 guys.
Wow.
And they are just, like you said, big. So they made it to the playoffs for the first time in, I don't know how long. The coach didn't know how long either, but they made it last year. And then this year they're off to a big start. They've played in some bigger schools. I think they lost to Hernando. They beat Lewisburg. Those are both 6-5A schools. Saltillo's a 5A school.
Right.
And he said he kind of has to because of how big they are, because he's got five guys that are over 6'3". And 3 guys that are over 6'5", 168.
Wow.
And that's at a 1A school. Kind of reminds me of last year's Okolona with the size.
Yeah, they had some good size at Okolona, with Cam Smith and Ladarius Spears. So, yeah, that's unusual in 1A. If you got, like, one guy who's over 6'3", you know, who has some skills, you're in pretty good shape in the post.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're all going to be back next year because I think they're one senior or two seniors are, like, 5'8". So.
Jeez.
But, no, Mitchell Salisbury, he was one of our – you know, top 10 players to watch coming into the season. He's averaging 24 points and 12 rebounds per game already this year. That's a great start for him.
That's pretty good.
He is just, from what Coach Jeremy Dillard said, he is just dominating in every facet of the game. Just, he's getting double teamed and doing whatever he wants whenever he wants.
Wow. Yeah. So, I'd like to see them play.
I would too.
Soon. We have to make a point to get out and see them. So, yeah, check out Dalton's story at djournal.com. Talk some girls hoopage. We both got out to games last night, Dalton. Both covered girls games. Some good matchups. You went to Amory as the Lady Panthers hosted South Pontotoc. South Pontotoc remains unbeaten, winning 58-51. Got down by 11 or so. What'd you see? And then what happened?
Yeah, well, Amory jumped out to a good start. They started and they're just running it right down South Pontotoc's throat. They were just layup, right there on the paint. I think the first 10, 12 points came from the paint.
And yeah.
And then Bill Russell and South Pontotoc flipped a switch and was like, hey, we'll just full court press them. And that worked wonders for them because Amory, you know, I talked to Coach Paula Wax afterwards. She said they hadn't seen that at all this year. So she said it was a good little test for them. And you know, they just did not do very well against it. I think there was probably close to 30 turnovers in the game after they started doing that in the second quarter. And
wow.
South Pontotoc, which nothing flashy offensively, was just kind of chipped their way back into it, went on a big run in the third quarter, took the lead for good, and
yeah,
just never gave it up. Just the defense was just so stingy.
That's just that's just a stingy?
Yeah.
Stingy?
No, stingy.
No, it's stingy.
Well, I'm saying stingy.
Well, it did sting them with some turnovers. Anyway, Bill Russell, you know, he's one of the best coaches around. He's been doing it for a long time, so that's not surprising. Good defense. They spread out the scoring. South Pontotoc, you know, they made the playoffs last year and I believe lost a tough one to Kossuth in, like, the second round. I was at that game. So they'll be a team to watch in 3A, certainly. I was at a game in Tremont. That's right. I got to go to Tremont, man. And the Lady Eagles hosting West Union, they jumped out to a big lead, 18-3. They led by 19 at one point in the second half. And then West Union just finally found something offensively, and they used a little defense too. They started pressing a good bit to get back in the game. That was effective. And Annie Orman, the best player there for West Union, finally got going. She had trouble getting shots to fall the first three quarters or so, and she got going in the fourth, and they got it down to 1 point with about 4 minutes left. And then finally, Tremont kind of got a fire lit under it, and they went on a little 10-0 run to close it out. Of course, they had some girls in foul trouble, had a couple of starters on the bench. They start five seniors. Okay, this is a team that went to the 1A quarterfinals last year. Got Haley Robinson and some of those other seniors back on the floor. Haley had been in some foul trouble, and so she played the last 4 minutes or so with four fouls, but she had a big three-pointer to kind of give Tremont a little bit of breathing room, and they went on to win 55-43. So solid win there for Tremont against a West Union team that's 2-7, but they've played a really tough schedule. They've lost to Ingemar twice, for instance. Mm-hmm. They've lost to Lafayette, I think, you know, our number one team. So, you know, J.C. Hales, the coach there, first-year coach, you know, he's going to do some good things, I think, at West Union. And Annie Orman, I mean, that was just kind of an off night for her. But she probably was the best athlete on the floor. She just didn't have the best game. And, you know, Tremont deserves credit. They did a good job with the 2-3 press and created some turnovers there against West Union. So was glad to get out there last night and watch that game. Coming up Friday, we've got some big games, Dalton, especially on the girls' side. We've got number 6 Pontotoc at number 2 Tupelo. And we've got number 3 Ingemar at number 4 Pine Grove. That's the game I'm going to. I am pumped about that one. Two defending state champs, of course, Ingemar in 2A, Pine Grove in 1A. Ingemar's won 3 in a row, Pine Grove 2 in a row. I've been texting Trent Adair and Katie Bates, the coaches, this morning, and they're both convinced that the other team's going to win, which
always,
you know, Trent and Katie are both pretty masterful at the whole sandbagging thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it should be a good close game, I'm hoping. Of course, Ingemar, they actually had a tough game against East Union on Tuesday because their point guard, Garibeth Self, got in foul trouble, didn't play but probably 5 minutes the whole game. And that's been kind of – if she has a weakness, she's such an aggressive defender. And, you know, that's kind of what Ingemar does. They defend aggressively, but she does tend to get in foul trouble, and so she's going to need to stay out of foul trouble against Pine Grove. And remember, Pine Grove is playing without Carly Rogers, who's been out since just before the season with an injury. So her recovery seems to be going well. Not sure when she's going to get back, but should be a good game. I mean, they got Lauren Elliott averaging 20 points a game. You know, she's back this year from that squad that went all the way. So I am very excited about that one. Also, that Pontotoc Tupelo boys game should be good. Mm-hmm. A couple of ranked teams there.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to this girls game. I saw it yesterday when I was looking at the schedule, and I was like, gosh, that's going to be really, really good, because I saw Pontotoc a few weeks ago and they played Starkville, and you know that team is for real. You know.
Starkville boys or Pontotoc boys?
No.
Who are we talking about?
Pontotoc girls.
Pontotoc girls, yeah. Oh, yeah, because they beat Starkville, that's right.
Yeah, it was like by 15 points. Starkville's the defending 6A champs, and
Yeah.
That team has a lot of weapons, especially with Shepherd, Dee
Dee. Dee Shepherd.
Yeah, when she joined the team, that just adds a whole new element to the offense.
Yeah, and we've got Pontotoc rated 6, and that might be too low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly they have a chance to beat Tupelo Friday night. So looking forward to those games. Okay, let's move on to the shout-outs. I only got actually one shout-out. this week. It's to Houston's Aquana Brownlee, a star softball player for the Lady Hilltoppers. She signed with Mississippi State on Tuesday. She committed to them back in January, and she was the Daily Journal Player of the Year for fast pitch this past spring. Had a big season, batted 589 with 8 home runs, 45 stolen bases, led Houston to the Class 3A state championship, and she's got one more season to go, and expecting big things out of her this coming season for Houston. So congrats to Aquana Brownlee there for signing with State. And let's wrap up the show with your Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Female Athlete of the Week, Chloe Walker, Tupelo soccer player. She's a forward. She had 2 goals and 1 assist in a 7-0 win against Grenada on Tuesday. Excuse me, 7-0. A 7-0 win against Grenada. Tupelo now 4-1 on the season. Male Athlete of the Week, Brett Riley. You mentioned we were talking about him before the show, Dalton. He had a good game last night. The South Pontotoc post player had 33 points, 18 rebounds against Amory Tuesday. 63-52 win. And then back on Monday, the day before, against Holka, he had 17 and 11 and a 75-48 win. So, Brett, he's what, 6'6"?
Yeah, 6'6". He was a huge mismatch problem yesterday against Amory.
Yeah, he was. He's mismatched for a lot of people.
I think he had 20 at halftime, because me and John Wise and I were talking about it, and it was the Brett Riley show. I think they had 33 points at halftime. He had 20 of them.
Wow.
He was just going off.
Yeah. They've got a good team there, the boys at South Pontotoc as well. So that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Do thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week to talk about what happened at the state football championships, basketball, and whatever else pops up. So be sure to check out the podcast in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com, and follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8, and I'm at Bradlock. That's it for this episode. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks.